SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday, race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone, 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at SteveBick.com as well. Casey telling me some funny things. That is funny, Kay. Tuesday here, and got a, I think, a kind of a fun might be a couple of things up in the air looking ahead, but we got some more recapping to do, of course, and some things to start to look forward to, including Thursday at Aqueduct. You've got 179. You got a very big 3-day carryover, and I know that there's a predisposition to not think that the racing is good and interesting, but it actually has been very good and interesting in New York. And this sequence obviously gets a little added incentive for attention with this big pot. And being that it's from Sunday to Thursday, you got plenty of time to A, handicap, and B, put together maybe even put together a little team to go after it. And you may need some team support. Andy is postponed till tomorrow, which is actually good. We'll be able to even get maybe a little bit more. Morning line is out, so that at least, is one aspect. And of course, David Aragona doing the line does a great job. And the standards were high in New York. Eric Donovan's outstanding morning line making for many years. And saying that also makes me, because Eric's now in the television department, Eric, it makes me think that, of course, Frank Miramonte made his last New York call on Sunday. Wrapped up his stint and starts, of course, a week from tomorrow at Santa Anita. I wish Frank the best, and he certainly has been a fun addition, being part of the Belmont telecasts, and he was a nice addition to the New York scene. So Johnny Imbriel will get back up into the stand to make the calls. And I like John's calls. And so I certainly hope that we hear John's called a couple of winners for us over the years. And hope to hear some more over the winter, honestly. And maybe Friday, hopefully, with the Minute Mouse running on Friday. But the sequence, the 3rd through the 8th, is what you're going to look at. And so Andy and I tomorrow will handicap this in earnest. And it should be, should be well worth looking at. It starts with a starter allowance going 3/4. And that's a group of 7. Starters are typically challenging. Then you got a state bred first level allowance, which is very good. A group of 8 going a mile, and it's very competitive. There's honest pace involved in here, and that'll make it a little tricky. Then they're going a mile. You got a maiden special weight that is going to get a lot of attention, and even if there wasn't the pick six tomorrow, Thursday, there would be some attention being paid to this group thanks to the presence of the Medaglia d'Oro colt for Mike Rapoli and Eclipse Moretti. And Todd Pletcher sends out Moretti, who was second in his debut off the turf mid-November behind Bourbon War. And the race came back well-rated, and Moretti is going to get a lot of attention in here. And it's a good group as well. You've got a Shadwell for Chad, a Union Rags, and that's Montegalli, Lisbon for the Oxley Cassie team. This is actually a Debbie Oxley bred. And there's Ehrlich for Kelly Breen. Disappointed, of course. Kelly, I'm sure, was disappointed with the try down in Remington, Epic Dreamer. Ehrlich for George Hall is a Curlin colt and has run well, actually. He's got two placements. And this is a good group. I suppose some people will lean heavily on Moretti, but they're going a mile and an eighth, which adds to the intrigue because, of course, there's actually a little interestingly, there's pretty much the whole field that has gone either a route or close to a route of ground. So very interesting. Sixth race, another mile, another starter allowance. This has got a sizable group of eight with an entry. Flying P, and of course, Aqueduct Mike Tanuso got his first win down in Florida, and has got two winners so far out of from 11 starters. Levine sends out the other part of the entry, but it's a group of eight fillies and mares going a mile. State bred allowance as kind of a co-feature, split from the earlier race, and this is a group of nine. First level allowance, and it closes out with a 25 non-2. They're going to go six. So the group of 10, this is a really, really good group of races to have that kind of a pick six carryover to shoot at. So we'll have some fun tomorrow, and I'll do the serious work tonight. And, of course, Andy's probably done the first layer. Actually, he's probably made his his selections are ready. He's always out ahead of it. So look forward to tomorrow to doing the Aqueduct sequence with Andy. There's also, I mentioned it yesterday, the card at Fairgrounds. We got to get to Marcus Hirsch. If you haven't had a chance to look at this 14-race card, it's unbelievable on Saturday. It is unbelievable. I saw where Marcus said he thinks it's the best card at the Fairgrounds before the year turns. He thinks it's from the November-December portion of the Fairgrounds season. He says this is the best card he has ever seen before January 1st. And Marcus has been looking at these races at Fairgrounds for a good long time. It is not just the stakes either. The stakes are great, and there's horses, there's nice sizable fields, but then you've got allowance action, you've got maiden special weights, you got everything. It is dynamite. I don't get to play Fairgrounds all that much during the winter, play it on the big days, but this is almost, and we'll be technically starting vacation, but it is going to be hard not to want to dig in on that card. So they certainly, for the players that are going to, and we'll talk about this with Pete tomorrow, the players that are going to go down to Fairgrounds for the Super Qualifier, potential for you know, it's basically one every 15. So 150 will yield 10 seats. And as Pete tells you, that's a terrific ratio. So we'll see. I hope you know, those of you that are, you know, flexible and could maybe get to New Orleans, you're going to be treated. And let's, in fact, the one thing, there's only one thing that could interfere with this, and you know what it is. And let's see what we can glean about weather in NOLA coming up. You put in new, and the first thing that came up was New South Wales, Australia. And I have a hard time believing that's the closest the closest location that near us that considering we're living in New York. Look into Saturday. Oh, look at that! Absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect. They may get a little bit of rain tomorrow and into Thursday, but no chance of rain Saturday. Clear, 64 degrees. So it's going to be a glorious day there on Gentilly. And if you're within reach, and I think Gary Pomisano Jr. will help you if you want to register or you need more information. I'll put a link. You can find Gary on Twitter. I'll put that information out. Okay, so we'll talk to Pete tomorrow and close out our year. And in fact, since I'm mentioning Pete, I can segue into part of the guest list today. And Pete makes me think of Harvey Pack. And of course, we talked to Harvey a couple of times this year. And his book, May the Horse Be With You, which is wildly entertaining. But the book topic, it's that perfect timing. The last minute desperation Christmas gift book show. We'll recap some of the books that we talked about during the year, and we'll get in a conversation live about one book that we didn't get a chance to discuss. Sermon on the Mount. The authorized, the exclusive Dwayne Lucas biography. It's kind of a collection of stories telling, you know, Wayne telling, you know, his career story and life story with Christina Bassanakis. And Christina is going to join us 10 o'clock. C-Boss. We'll catch up with Christina, and she'll talk about her experience with Wayne putting together Sermon on the Mount. And it's available at certain, it's not, I don't think it's widely accessible like on Amazon, but the Derby Museum, as Bob Baffert talked about on Friday, the Derby Museum is selling it, and you can order it from the museum. So we'll talk to Christina. We'll talk to Steve Asmussen. Start the second half of the show. 10:30 or so. Check in with Steve. And, of course, he closed out a terrific Remington season with the wins. Both long-range toddy for Mr. Horton. Fig came back. The Fig was posted yesterday. Fairly modest. An 82 buyer. And, of course, Steve also scored with Clever Serve in the She's All In. But we can also talk about Vertical Oak, who won the week before with Aqueduct. And Steve well represented at the fairgrounds. He's in races 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, 12, 13. Yeah. So we'll talk to Steve Asmussen. We'll get some year-end thoughts from him. And, of course, his year started with Gunrunner. And closing out well, it looks like. John Toscano. I said yesterday, I can't pass up the opportunity to visit with John Toscano. He'll join us at the bottom of the hour. Talk about the filly that won in New York on Saturday. And much, much more. Got some other fun topics and visitors. Take a break here. Come right back at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Daytime Southern California thoroughbred racing action continues Thursday through Sunday at Los Alamitos Racecourse with more stakes action coming up on December 15th and 16th. First post is 1 p.m. on weekdays and 12:30 p.m. on weekends Pacific Time. The weekend action will feature the Soviet Problem Stakes on Saturday, December 15th and the King Glorious on Sunday, December 16th. All of the top names will be here through our closing day on Sunday, December 16th. Racing fans, the $1 Los Alamitos Pick Fours continues. The wager has been well received and the pools figure to grow. Los Alamitos also features a traditional Pick Six wager. And when the sun goes down, the lights turn on at Los Alamitos with nighttime quarter horse and thoroughbred racing action every Friday through Sunday night. Join us on track or at your favorite satellite or ADW provider. Great racing is in store at Los Alamitos Racecourse through our closing day on Sunday, December 16th. Let's go! For more info, go to losalamitos.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, and I don't know, maybe Kay, we might have, we're going to do that Christmas thing with Pete tomorrow. We're both going to pick one new Christmas tune that wasn't in the special, and you can hear that Christmas Eve and Christmas morning, but the special from last year, we're going to run it again. It was so popular, and this is, you know, this just now up on the housetop. The Donnas, and I know the Donnas are a favorite of Pete Fornatel. Yeah, it's a good version. And you know, last night, somebody was asking about a couple of the cuts from yesterday. And so I answered those questions. Then I put the link up to at Derby Trail. I've got the complete, our complete Christmas catalog. And it's up to like, I don't know, 60 songs maybe? At least. And we still have some special, some of our favorites to get to. Stone Soul Christmas from Pinky Griptite, right? And I know Case loves the Sand Pebbles with What You Gotta Give Me for Christmas. Go to the islands for that. Yeah, little, what's the word? Was it world music? World music, right? That's release that kind of thing. Speaking of the world, let's get a around the globe couple of news updates. And I did notice, you know, with Woodbine wrapping up their meet on Sunday, it feels like they run all year. It's amazing, actually. But I did see the news piece that Woodbine and the Ontario HBPA, they've got a new 4-year deal on the purses and its structure, and their existing agreement was going to run out in the spring, and Woodbine comes right back in April of next year. So really just about 100 days, 100 days back to start. Things have really stabilized nicely in Ontario after that completely unnecessary circumstance involving the provincial government that really, you know, that came up last week, not that particular topic, but the instability and actually came up yesterday, right, with the conversation with Tony Mitchell about Chicagoland and Illinois breeding. When you have uncertainty and you know, breeders don't know what the future is going to hold 3 to 5 years down the road, they're going to move mares. And the Ontario provincial government really, really threw a wrench in the gears, and you know, then things, you know, they got a premier that was much more, you know, agriculture friendly, and she'd been the minister of agriculture, and she understood what the benefits were and stabilized things, but there was plenty of damage done. And speaking of allocations, New Jersey seems poised to go ahead with this 5-year, $10 million annual purse subsidy at Monmouth. Cleared the Senate, and it appears that this is, and this is another region that, you know, had the state government, you know, kind of interfere and make things more difficult for the horsemen at Monmouth. But starting in 2019, $20 million to the state thoroughbred and standardbred industries. And we'll see. I mean, between the sports betting and that intermediate support, we'll see if the Jersey breeding can be revived. Dennis Drazen breeding some, and Mrs. De Tomaso, you need more than the two of them. There was a very interesting piece. In fact, I reached out to T.D. Thornton, and it always takes T.D. a couple of days to get back. T.D. Thornton wrote a very interesting view of the Pimlico Maryland Stadium Authority report. And he brought a couple of things into the discussion. And, of course, we had Alan Foreman on Friday for the immediate reaction. And, you know, and Alan's very germane point was, where's the money going to come from? T.D. Thornton wrote in TDN that there's, and based on a Baltimore Sun editorial that was very, the Baltimore Sun was very encouraging about this. And they laid out where the money should and could come from. And for those of you that haven't had a chance to go through the 78 page proposal, I sent the link out on Friday morning. It's amazing. And they certainly got their money's worth because they spent close to $500,000 on this phase two of the study. And there's a lot more to this simply than building, some new barns and refreshing the racetrack surface and the infield and fixing up a beautiful new clubhouse. There's a lot more to it. And when you get into, they basically offered three different versions of what could happen, which would be, a simplified, a refurbishment, then a more community interactive version, and then the full package that would be, would include everything, every bell and whistle they could think of. And in essence, and the way the Baltimore Sun wrote about it, the concept is more almost like a civic center, a community center, athletic fields, and virtually a, I guess you could almost call it like a city square concept that the racetrack would encompass, but then would basically seep into the neighborhood in every direction. And I after the first of the year, and I suppose the next time, obviously, we'll know way more when we swing around to Baltimore next year. But it's a very complex decision, because you can tell that the Stronach Group would be very happy to sell the property to the hospital or whatever and focus on Laurel. But the city clearly does not want to lose the Preakness. And Alan explained that too. And then Tim Keefe, who is the Horseman's representative, Tim asked the question, which the Stadium Authority wasn't tasked with, which was, what is best for the long-term health of the Maryland equine community and those interests. That's a separate, that's almost a, obviously it goes hand in hand. And a new Pimlico is not going to hurt that if that's the way it goes. But this is a complex, urban renewal question. And it's very intriguing to see, just to watch this from afar. And, one of the things that the editorial in the Baltimore Sun also concludes is that if the Maryland Jockey Club, if the Stronach Group is going to be standoffish about spending against this, that there's a few things that the state of Maryland and the city could do some arm twisting. So that suggestion was also made. This one will be an interesting topic the next several months. So we're coming up toward the bottom of the hour, and we're going to talk to John Toscano. I'm really looking forward to that. And you know, I also yesterday that discussion with Tony Mitchell, and when Original Spin came up, and you know, I had pulled up her PPs and her charts, and you know, whenever you do this, and one of the books that we'll certainly remind you of next half hour is the latest edition of Champions, and you know, so not that she was a champion, but you get a chance to see certain races and in somebody's past performances. When you pull up the charts, it reminds you of horses that you fell in love with and that you bet, you know, particularly Breeders' Cup, especially. That's one of my, that's one of the favorites. And so it just so happens that in that 2005 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly, Folklore, speaking of Edgar Prado, Folklore for the Lewises, the wonderful filly, she wins, and she wins as the favorite, and she wins well. Wild Fit was second for Jeff Mullins and Brewer Racing. An Original Spin was third for Tony Mitchell. The horse that I was crazy about going into this race was Knights Templar. And Knights Templar ended up 9-1. She set the pace, ended up sixth under Gary Stevens. And the I guess the reason, I don't know, the reason, quote unquote, I felt she came out of Woodbine, and Ed Seltzer, Knights Templar, and I thought she was going to be very clever in there. So I hadn't seen her name in ages. Should see what if she's been productive as a broodmare. Knights Templar. You know who didn't run well that day was Adu. She was the second choice at 4-1. And she really never, she got maybe an early call after, the opening quarter. And then just, kind of ran around from that point. Ended up seventh. Yeah. Original Spin was the third choice, finished third. You could spend forever, going through those. Let's take a break. John Toscano, for the first time ever, I one of my favorite people around the racetrack, particularly at Saratoga, joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Yeah, ExpressBet. Give me 12 grand to win on the 9 at Gulfstream. Yeah, that's what I said. 12 grand. 12,000 smackaroos. 12,000...
Mikey! Hang up the phone! You crazy? You can't bet that much.
Quiet, Joey. I'm practicing.
Practicing? Practicing for what? Divorce?
No, I'm practicing my Pegasus Big Bet with my friends at ExpressBet.
Ooh, the contest is back?
And better than ever. All you gotta do is register for free at ExpressBet.com. Then you'll earn entries for every bet you make until January 14th. The more you play, the more chances you have to win.
And you win a $12,000 bet on the Pegasus?
And a VIP trip to Gulfstream with airfare, hotel, tickets, it's all included. Now, if you'll excuse me, I got some more practicing to do.
Yeah.
So, ExpressBet, you still there? Good. Like I was saying,
ExpressBet is the official online wagering partner of the Pegasus World Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to bet today. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
To At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I'm in the kitchen cooking, and the children upstairs asleep. It's time for old Santa Claus to make his midnight cream call.
Santa Claus wants some loving.
Yeah, now.
Santa Claus wants some loving.
I know it's something real pretty under that Christmas tree.
We're back at the races, a little past the bottom of the hour, and an absolute pleasure to, as part of the year-end week here, to get John Toscano Jr. on the show. And John, this is an overdue pleasure for me and for everybody. Congratulations on Forgotten Heroes' win Saturday.
Well, thank you, Steve. It was certainly a great feeling, that's for sure.
Well, and this filly, you know, basically has been, I mean, only, you know, only the two starts, obviously, the maiden special win at the beginning of the meet at Aqueduct, and you know she's done everything right, and you, I saw where you were quoted by Dave Grenick, that you knew that this was a good horse from the minute she came to the racetrack.
Yeah, the first time we breezed her, we knew she was something special. You know, she's always showed us a lot of talent, and to do what she did is really an accomplishment. Not too many else to go for maidens for stake and win.
And you know, there were some seasoned players in here. There was Linda's Sassy Agnes, that Cartwheel and Lulu, who won up at Saratoga.
All the best thoroughbred fillies around were in that race. You know, she's got to be considered one of the best three-year-old thoroughbred fillies in training right now. I think, you know, we shot her a little late, so she may not get the award, but she deserves it. She's that kind of filly.
We'll talk about what might be ahead for her, but let's first get a feel for, you know, how she came to you. Charlie Festa is the co-breeder with Sequel, and he is in for, you know, for a piece. How did you two connect on her?
Charlie and I have been partners basically about 40 years now. I trained for Mr. Festa since the early 70s. So we've been together for quite some time. And he breeds and he sends them into me. And this one we got particularly lucky with. You know, we've had a few in the past, but she's superior. She's probably the best one he's bred by far. She's a really nice filly.
Is that his mare, Seattle Ash?
That's his mare. Believe it or not, the mare is 20 years old. What she's done is incredible. To have a foal this good so late in age. She dropped, I think she was 17 when she dropped the filly. She's 20 now. But to do that is incredible. She's had like 10 foals. And this one's a superstar.
How about that? By Mission Impassable, who, you know, is, it didn't take him long. He established himself as a regional sire in New York, and he gets, you know, he gets quick early horses. And, you know, you look at her, John, and you watch the two wins. And yes, I mean, she's fast, but it doesn't look like she's a runoff. It looks like she'll do whatever Luz asks.
That's exactly right. Mike said, whatever I want to do with her, she'll do it. If I want to sit, I want to go. When I push the button, she goes. So that's a great thing, you know, be able to perhaps stretch her out, which is, you know, a maintenance goal down the road. The bad thing about it is there's really no races for her. She has the next two-year-old filly, New York Rich Snake, is in the end of February. So, you know, you have to pick and choose right now where to put her. I might have to wait for that spot. But, you know, I'll let her tell me. If she's tearing a barn down, I got to look for a race for her. So, you know, as I said, we'll let her dictate where we're headed with her. The possibilities open company, like the Ruthless, the end of January.
Sure.
We try the open fillies, and that's a possibility. You know, we'll take everything into consideration before we decide where our next move is.
You know, to some degree, too, John, now with the reconfigured Aqueduct Oval, it's probably to your benefit that you got the one-turn mile as opposed to having to deal with the inner track. You can stretch her out without going two turns right away.
Yeah, hopefully she's good enough for that. If she is, that's what she'll be. Like, you know, you have to take on open company, I guess, for the extended distance. You know, and that's where the big money's at, and if she's good enough, God willing, that's where she'll be.
I love it. You know, the other part of this that is really heartening, too, Mike Luzzi, you know, getting tied on with her. And, you know, Mike debuted her. I suppose he's probably helped in the mornings with her as well, and getting her developed and ready. It's great for Mike to have a horse like this.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he was the first one to breeze her, and he breezed her every time prior to a first start. He's the only one that's been on her. So, you know, he was confident. He knew the filly a couple of months before we got her ready. And he said to me, the first time he breezed her, I said, Mike, how is she? He says, just a little freak. First time he breezed her. So I got to give him credit for that. He called
a
shot with that
one. I love it. And that brings up the question. I'm curious because her workouts go back to the end of September. Did you have her with you at Saratoga? When did she come to the track?
Okay, she came to the track in the end of June. We had that back at Belmont the first 2 weeks when I was up at Saratoga. And I was on the phone with the boy, and she said she looked might be something special. So I put her on the next truck up, and I brought her up to Saratoga. And she spent the last 3 or 4 weeks with me at Saratoga. And she's been with me ever since.
Well, and you took your time, too, because you go back to the end of September. That's at least the first on the page, 5 furlong work.
Right.
You had a nice series of fives, and then you sharpened her up for the debut with a little 3 furlong blowout.
Exactly. You know, and she was pretty sharp, and every one of her worked. You'll notice she breezed best of 38, best of 47. Every time she breezed, she was unbelievable. Always first or second in the tab. And, you know, and that's when you knew we had something special prior to a first lot. But, she's got to stay sound. That's the aim of the game. If we keep her healthy, we should be okay.
You mentioned that, you know, here's a mare, the Festa's mare, that has had a bunch of foals. And to be honest, this one is already, I mean, virtually in no time is going to be the best of her progeny, and she had some foals make money, but not really win too much. Have you had most of those?
I've had all of them except for Sleuth Blue. That one I sold at auction. Jackie Fork had it, and he was a grass horse, her brother. And the other 5 or 6 foals, I had all of them. As a matter of fact, she's got the brother and sister that's in the barn right now. She's a two-year-old. I got the three-year-old and the four-year-old here. But they're not
the Frost.
Naturally, but she's superior to the family. She's the best individual that's been produced.
Well, and the mare has really only gone to some, you know, some just solid-type regional stallions.
Exactly.
E. Dubai and Tomorrow's Cat.
Stallion. Right.
No.
Suave, she got Slutgrew, bred to Suave. She's bred to Tomorrow's Cat, Frost Giant a few times. And this is the first Mission Possible. Now, she's got a full brother on the ground, so that's a yearling, turning one in January. So, you know, we're looking forward to he might be something special, being to the second Mission Impossible at that mare.
Exactly, and there's a two-year difference between between the two. So she either slipped or was reset after she had Forgotten Hero. What is the name? What's the name referred to? There's got to be a story with the name.
I don't really know how Mr. Festa came up with the name. I'll be honest. He had,
all right,
believe it or not, named Near Hero, and just passed away recently. I thought he named the horse after her. It's partly that, and partly, I guess, with the soldiers in action, you know?
Yeah.
Around the heroes.
Nice. Well, no, I figured there had to be a backstory.
He developed the name.
Well, clearly this is a nice filly, and you know, the luxury of being a state bred, and you can take advantage of that, of the program, and then start to, you know, test her as need be. I certainly got to spend a couple of minutes, John, as well. You know, the Toscanos are one of the most familiar families on the racetrack for a good long time. Talk about your life on the track and you know, your boys and your daughter and the whole family that you know, everybody loves it.
Everybody's involved. They really are. It's a family operation, and all my sons and my daughter involved. So, like I said, it's a family operation.
How did you come to the racetrack?
Well, I was going to St. John's at the time, and I grew up Rockford Aqueduct. So what happened, I stayed in the roar of the crowd every half hour, and I wondered, what is that? So one day I took a walk up there, and that was it. I was hooked. And I've become a fan ever since then. That's back in the early 60s. So I graduated St. John's, took a job with Jimmy Picoza, hot walker, making $40 a week. My father said to me, "You graduated college and you took a job of making $40 a week." He says, he called me Mr. Plantis. He said, "You're nuts." That became my nickname, Mr. Plantis. But anyway, I love the business. I love the game, and it's been my life ever since.
What did your father do?
He managed a paint factory. He was a plant superintendent for Luminol Paints, a paint company over in Jersey. And that's, he graduated LIU, and he was a college boy. And he had a good job as a plant manager. But he wanted me to go that route, and I elected not to. So I wound up with horses. I'm the first one in the family to get involved with horses. Nobody prior to me was involved.
That's funny. That's funny because you don't, you just so often when it's, especially when it's a family operation, you just, you know, the assumption, you think of the Kellys, you know, and but TJ too, he, you know, he grew up right in the neighborhood by Pimlico, and he said he used to look over the fence and wondered what was going on, and he said he jumped the fence and that was it.
I wound up, my youngest son was a jockey for quite some time. Yeah, he won the Ibarra Petit Award in New York back in 1990 as the top apprentice in New York. And so it's family oriented. Everybody's involved with it. And we've had some fun.
Well, and you've had an extended success. You've been winning races a long time. You had that nice Sinister G going back a few years. But really, the last 4 years in particular, John, these have been, you know, the biggest win, you know, total and earnings totals you've had. It's been a great run.
Yes, I matured with age. The older I got, the better I got, I guess. But the last 4 or 5 years, well, you know, I hooked up to a man called Mike Mellon, Grand Jam Stable.
Right.
And he's a tire manufacturer in out of Connecticut. He's a distributor. And he's got like 85 stores over in Connecticut. And he got involved with me. And he really was my boost. He started me off. And it's been uphill ever since. So I got to credit Mike Mellon for that success. It was him that started me off.
Well, and they're, you know, they're a high level claiming outfit, and that
right.
You know, when you have that opportunity, and when, you know, when you can sit with PPs and you know that there's 62.5 or 50,000 in the account that you can take and bring horses forward, and I'm sure he, you know, reaches out to you and what do you think of this one? You talk about that actually, about the give and take about picking horses.
Exactly. You know, you've got carte blanche with a man like this, whatever you like, if he's on board to take. And, you know, it's very advantageous to be in a position like that.
At the same time, for you, it's got to feel nice to, you know, bring one up fresh, you know, one that isn't somebody else's horse that you're claiming, and
exactly.
You know, then you're going to figure out this, you know, having a horse like this, like Forgotten Hero, there's a little, not that it's more satisfying, but it is, it's special when you get to start them from scratch.
Yeah, it's very gratifying. It really is. You know, to make a horse like that, it's a feather in your cap. So, and let's hope she goes on to bigger and better things, and we'll have some fun with her.
And on that topic, actually, who works with you and Charlie's horses, developing them from yearlings into 2-year-olds?
Well, he has Gary Yeast, I believe. Gary Yeast, upstate New York.
Okay.
He breeds his horses, starts them up, he gets them, he breaks them, and then he sends them into me. And we go from there. And I, you know, put the finishing touches to them. They come from upstate New York. I forget the name of Gary's farm, Gary Least. But anyway, he's the one who's responsible for breeding and entering and getting the babies started.
Excellent. Well, I am not going to miss the opportunity, John, because there's a lot of money in the carryover for Thursday, and you're a big part of Thursday. You've got two of them in the opening leg, and Missile Bomb,
right.
Missile Bomb for drawing away, and you know, you certainly got to have fun with them as well. They're a fun outfit. And then for Scott Zimmerman, you got one that you just plucked from Linda Rice, Fox Red. Talk about these two in the third Thursday.
Well, Fox Red looked like exceptionally good claim. He ran a very, very big buy in the start of a main 20 race. So that's why I put him in a starter. I really want to see how good he is before we enter back in the claiming ranks. And the Missile Bomb, as you know, he's a hard-knocking old man.
Yeah.
He knows where the winning circle is. So I got one will probably be on the lead, and the other will be chasing. So I'm probably going to control that race. And the outcome may hopefully be in my favor. But they're both very tough beasts. And I don't know which one is better, to be honest with you. But they're both, there's two claims, and I think I got lucky with both of them.
Eric,
like in the claiming game, that's, you know, sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you don't. Fortunately, I think this time, we're on top of the game.
Well, and Missile Bomb, you know, Missile Bomb's an 8-time winner. He's going to turn 6 on January 1st. That dam of his was a stake horse, Miss A-Bomb. She was on the synthetic, if I'm not mistaken. I think she won at Turfway, or she was a nice horse, uh-huh. Miss A-Bomb. You know, you know what? One thing, I guess he was tried twice on the turf, Missile Bomb, but being out of her...
Yeah, he didn't like it.
No, huh?
He didn't like the term. No, he didn't like it. I didn't try him on it, but I know prior, people have had him. I think Brett Cott might
couple
have tried
of times.
Him on the grass.
Yeah.
When he had him back when. And he seemed to dislike it, but he's a warrior. He's a wind machine, I call him. You get him over that paddock, and he knows where the winner circle is. He's unbelievable. Yeah. He's got his issues, but he runs with them, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of heart, that horse.
Well, and he'll draft along the lead. But I tell you, looking at this field, there's not a lot of speed in here, John.
Not at all.
No.
That's why I think I'll control the front end of the race with those two horses. So we'll see what happens. I think they'll be tough in there.
Well, you're going to bookend. There's a potential for you to bookend the pick six. And in the eighth race, Latin Love Bug. This is a rule gelding, and just broke the maiden back on November 17th, and took a while, but seems like he's slowly improving.
Yeah, he definitely on the improve. The race sets up right for him. There's a lot of speed in front of him. There's like three or four speed balls in there that they could set it up nicely for him. So he's definitely a contender in there. If he can take the maiden to the open ranks, take that jump, he'll be competitive. That's a tough knock, too, you know. I don't have to break their maiden. It takes a couple of starts before they get back in the game, but we'll see what happens. He did win impressively when he broke his maiden.
He won off by nine, and what was interesting about that, you gave him a little freshening after Saratoga. You gave him about 30 days, and he ran immediately as good a race as he had ever run when he was second in October, and then he wins off by nine at the same level, State Bred 25. And a lot of times with this kind of horse, John, when that light goes on, they boom, and especially running against non-lifetime, if there's horses that have been trying repeatedly, and there's a few in here like that. You can sometimes win right back.
I've seen that happen so many times.
Yeah.
It takes them a while to break the main, but once, like you said, the light goes on, they seem to flourish right after that. You know, they get a taste of winning, and that's what they need.
I've
seen that so many times.
Now they instead of being led right back and unsaddled, they realize, oh, they're paying attention to me. Look at this. They're taking my picture. This is fun. I got a couple of extra. I got an apple in my bucket today. All right. I see what this is winning's about. Well, John, warmest Christmas wishes to you and all the Toscanos.
Thank you.
There's how many? What's Christmas like at the Toscanos? There's got to be, 30, 40 people in the house?
Oh, without a doubt. it's an army. It's an army.
I love it.
But
I love it.
Fun.
Well, there's a nice...
We're all very closely knit family, and we stay together at the holiday, so it's a lot of fun. Steve, it's a pleasure talking to you. Anytime, just feel free to call.
Well, I think we're going to talk in the new year as well. Forgotten Hero looks like a terrific stakes horse in the Toscano barn. John, thanks so much. Best wishes.
Steve, thanks again.
Not
Take
at
care.
All. I love it. John Toscano Jr. And that's, what he said about what his father said. When I told my father that I wanted to, and my parents, when I told them I wanted to go into media of some kind, I wanted to either sports write or broadcast. This is 1982. And, I got a couple of offers, and one, 1982, think about this. One was for $9,800 a year. That was for a newspaper. And one was to be a sports reporter and a weekend, kind of like a weekend on-air sports in a C market. There's no other way to start out. For $8,200 was the offer. And I went to my parents with that. I said, you know, they said, well, what's the, you know, how would 9,000 and 8,000 a year. And they said the same thing that John Toscano's father said. You went to St. John's, you went to college 4 years to hot walk for Jimmy Piku for $40. The exact same experience. So I had to wait. I had to wait until I was in my 40s to come back to broadcast. So I can appreciate John's angle on that. Really fun. The Toscanos are really as well liked and just known throughout the New York circuit. And Paul, you know, Paul won. Look up Paul. He's going to go to the break, but Paul must have, I bet you he won a bunch of races during his riding career. Let me play St. Toscano jockey. That was the only Toscano. How about that? 808 races Paul won from 8,200 mounts, basically. 808, and a career that spanned about 15 years. And his graded stake win, the one graded stake win, was Sinister G in the Lane's End in 2004. Remember Sinister G? He's a nice horse. That was fun. Let's take a break. Come back. Talk to Christina Bassanakis, who we have not talked to in ages. She co-wrote, or as told to, Sermon on the Mount, the Wayne Lucas story. And do our segment this half hour. Our book, Last Minute Christmas Gift Book Ideas. And we'll recap the books that we had conversations about this year. There was the Stymie book from Carolyn Rosner. And there was the Shergar, the Taking Shergar. And then we got a couple of others to suggest. And there's nothing better. You're desperate for a last-minute gift for the horse lover on your list. Back after this, Christina Bassanakis.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The Brisnet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet.com is the handicapper's edge.